August 21st, 2018, Town Board Workshop at 6 o'clock.
Previously agreed to work with the Town Board in putting together an economic development plan with our assistance to move the town forward.
Great.
So with that, I'll turn it over to Mark.
All right. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the time you're all taking tonight to be here. I want to start out by apologizing for missing the original meeting of which I was supposed to be here. And I know you took time out that evening as well, so please accept my apologies and I ask you for your forgiveness. With me tonight, I have Mary Brickman, who is our global markets advisor, fairly new to the organization. She has a 30-year track record with the U.S. Department of Trade representative in Washington, D.C., negotiating trade agreements throughout the world. And so we're really lucky to have her on board on a part-time basis to help us with companies that are looking to export and do a direct investment. And, of course, many of you know Shelby Schneider. She's our Vice President of Marketing and External Relations, and she brings more than 13-plus years of economic development experience, plus about 2 years of craft beer marketing experience. So I don't know what that brings to the table, but at least she knows where the good stuff is, right? Okay. And my name is Marty Lennox, of course. I'm with the I'm President of Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership, which was formed in 2014 by the County Board of Supervisors to answer a call of more aggressive and assertive economic development. So I'm very happy to be here. You are the first of our Next Wave communities that we're working with, and so we're pretty excited about it. On one hand, this is an experiment. On the other hand, I can guarantee you, based on the experience that you have in this room, plus the people, agencies, and organizations that we'll pull in, you'll see a lot of positive outcomes. And so with that, if we just follow along here, the first is our agenda, what we're going to talk about tonight. And as part of the process that we're undertaking with you, what we want to do tonight is what we call the Economic Development and 101 class, or workshop, if you will. I know that all of you have different experiences in business and economic development and government, but the idea here is not to talk down to you or tell you something you may already know, but to kind of get us all on the same level playing field so you know where we are as an organization when it comes to economic development and how we organize ourselves and what you can expect from an economic development perspective. I come to this and put this presentation together using material experiences that I've had over the years, plus material from the International Economic Development Council, which is the largest economic development professional organization in the world. I'm a member of it, our organization is a member of it, and I sit on the board of directors of that organization. So real quickly, we're going to be looking at the economic development history and what I call the circle of life. We're going to talk about business retention and expansion, which I believe is the foundation for economic development. Economic development attraction game, which we call making friends. Growing your own entrepreneurship and small business development. Incentives and financing, and then organizing the effort. So I always start out the presentation about economic development with the mission of the partnership. In 2015, the board of directors, right after I had come on board, we sat down and we developed this mission statement for the organization, and that is to secure sustainable jobs and capital investment by attracting new business and retaining existing businesses by assisting them to grow. It's a pretty simple economic development mission, but it's very important that we all understand that for us, the mission is jobs and capital investment, and we do that with new businesses and existing businesses. By the way, just stop me anytime that I just drank those these monster energy drinks. I'm ready to go. So just slow me down. My God. Yes.
No, I'm looking at this retaining existing businesses, and I think about some of the businesses that are on Route 9 and helping them grow. The first one that comes to mind is Safety Warehouse. We were talking about sewers. We've got sewer talk going on. So with that, one of the owners of the Safety Warehouse, or the owner, president, was talking about it being a concrete and stone building that, you know, she does very little online. But my thought was, if she wants to survive, you almost have to do that.
Yeah.
Is this something that you would help them with?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we can go in, and I can get into that a little bit later, but yeah, there are ways we can help any business, whether it's, and it's usually it's one of several activities. One might be some technical assistance that we can provide, say, export or something that we are experienced and knowledgeable in that we can provide them in terms of technical assistance. The second is connecting them with a state, local, federal agency and advocate for them on their behalf if there's a program or a grant or a loan program, whatever it might be. There might be something out there that usually we're pretty aware of, and it's our job to be aware of, that might be able to help them. And thirdly, there might be a business that we can connect them to that they may not have either time nor the inclination or knowledge about that business existing that might be able to help them with their work. And so, or any combination of those three. Anything you want to add?
I'd probably also add, and this goes to a business that I met with last week that's been in business for about 15 years. One of the major customers is General Electric, and they need to pivot a bit. One of the suggestions that I'm making is helping them facilitate a new business plan and a new business model to kind of reconsider how their current business model is and what it would take for them to get it down on paper to get into e-commerce. So business planning, there are services out there that are free and that help people reconnect with financing or just kind of rethink what their business model is. So depending on what their needs are, we would fit them with the right business counselor.
Right.
So we'll address that.
So with this particular business or company, I mean, they have an ask for any assistance, but the way they were talking, it's like they probably could use it.
Yeah.
So how do you present that?
So we have what we call business retention expansion program called Business for Saratoga.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pick up the phone and say, hey, we're the economic development agency. We'd like to talk to all our businesses. We'd like to come in and interview you. And usually those kind of issues rise to the surface, and we end up being able to help them with something. That's
great.
How we probably handle that.
Okay.
Or we'd say, Mr. Hogan indicated that you might need some assistance.
Please don't name me.
So we're here to help. So, first of all, let's talk behind. What is economic development? Economic development is usually described as the creation of jobs. And those jobs aren't created by the Economic Development Agency. Often you hear from around the country, no matter where you've been, you've probably seen the XYZ organization created X number of jobs. Okay, we don't create jobs. We help those companies get in the position and help them secure and create those jobs. So those come from the private sector. And the states and localities that create those jobs or create the environment that help create those jobs. So economic development is about the creation of jobs, and our organization helps secure those jobs, help those companies create those jobs. And it's also about creating wealth and prosperity. You know, why? Because wealth and prosperity in the community is what we want for our families and our loved ones. At the end of the day, when I talk to people who say, why are they involved in economic development, they say things like, I want my children, my grandchildren, or whatever, to have a nice place to live. And so economic development, while it's described as a creation of jobs and wealth, it really boils down to subsequent improvement in the quality of life. So economic development can also be described as a process. It's people meeting with each other, talking to each other, and restructuring the economy and doing the influential things that make the economy well-being. So that brings us to, again, and I think maybe you've seen this before, if you've been seeing one of my presentations, and I'm not sure if I have an initial one, but the economic development circle of life. And I like using this because it helps really describe economic development for all people. So at the top of the circle is sustainable jobs. That's what we all want. We want those sustainable jobs, jobs that create the types of incomes that people and families can live on, and that they have then expendable income in the community. Because that disposable income then generates demand for retail and services. And so I'll stop right there because a lot of times people say, this is what we need. This is economic development. But you can't have that. This won't arrive in your community unless you have this. And you can't have this unless you have sustainable jobs. So it starts here. So sustainable jobs creates disposable income, which creates demand for retail, demand for services, demand for amenities. Those, in turn, generate sales tax and other revenues from the community, other revenues for other businesses, and sales tax and general governmental revenue, which then allows you and other governmental agencies to create a superior quality place. Parks, recreation, roads, sewers, things like that. And so, so we have jobs, creates incomes, creates demand, creates sales tax, allows for the quality of place, and that attracts new businesses and generates new local businesses. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I started in this business, we would call people and say, hey, here's who we are. And they would say, leave your quality of life brochures at home. I want to know about the factory and about buildings and blah, blah, blah. Today, this is what they want to know. They want to know what your place looks like. What are the attractions? What's the quality of life in your community? Because the quality of life is going to attract the type of people that they want to hire, the high-quality people. And so this is really important. And then new businesses attract new businesses. We generate local businesses, which create more sustainable jobs, and the circle continues. And so we can't start here with the economic development process. We have to start here. Because that is going to drive this, which drives this, which keeps it going. Good?
Okay.
So, I'm going to talk about the different roles people play in economic development. And again, this is stuff you probably know, but I want to just make sure that we're all on the same footing. So, government has a role to play in economic development. There's some people say that they don't, but they do. Because the government creates policy. At the federal level, policies that government undertake meet broad economic objectives. We know about fiscal and monetary policy, controls inflation, employment, GDP, that type of thing. And so they have a role to play. Let me just mention this, that, and this is a little side note. In the United States of America, most economic development is done at the local level. There's 15,000 organizations like ours throughout the country at the local level doing economic development. 98% of those organizations were not created or mandated by government. They were created by volunteer business and public sector people coming together and saying, hey, let's do something proactive. As opposed to the rest of the world, where economic development is done at the state or national or federal level. So you go to, am I correct? So you go to Europe, you go to Asia, you go anywhere else. Economic development is managed, run, controlled by government. So this is a little bit different. So the federal government pretty much stays out of economic development at the local level with few exceptions, and we can talk about that. The state and local government also plays a role in economic development. This is in the role of building highways, extending and maintaining infrastructure, managing parks and other amenities, healthcare, particularly here in the state of New York, and also providing economic incentives for larger projects. Obviously, things like Global Foundries is a good example of that. And then at the local level, economic development organizations, and you might hear me refer to them as EDOs as I move forward, but local economic development organizations, we do the hard work. We do the heavy lifting. Business finance, marketing, neighborhood development, business retention, expansion, technology transfer, real estate development, and the list goes on because that's what people expect. So, what is economic development? There's no single definition for economic development. These are some of my disclaimers, even though I've attempted to define it for you. But there's a lot of nuances. So there's no single definition, there's no single strategy, policy, or program for achieving successful economic development, except as we define it for our own communities. Because each community differs in geographic, political strengths, and weaknesses. And each community has a unique set of challenges for their economic development. So economic development clearly can only be defined by you and us, with our assistance, And rather than a textbook definition, let's agree that today and moving forward, economic development for the town of Monroe is what you are going to define it as. And it's what you say it is, and it's what you say the metrics and final outcome should be. Good, all right? Mm-hmm. So, along with what I just said, economic development is also a process as well. So, it has a process, and it is a process. We're going to get into some of the process things here in a few seconds. It's a stated goal, set of goals and outcomes, and we're going to help define that. And it's affected by international, national, state, and local policies, activities, and events, and it can be impacted at the local level. And it can be impacted at the local level more so than at the national and federal, state and federal level. Because we have a lot to say about what we want and how we want it. We can turn to those other levels for assistance. And I think a lot of times people say, well, we ask. Well, maybe you didn't ask enough, maybe you didn't ask the right way. And so that's what we're here about. So when I was putting this together, I was looking at trying to dig up some history of economic development. If you Google that, you won't find much. But working through the International Economic Development Council information and website, I came across some things. And economic development as a profession, as what we do, really started in the early 1900s, and it was called industrial development. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce pulled some industrial development people from our local chambers together, and they kept building it and building it and building it. And by 1961, they had so much under their belt, they wrote a history of economic development. And so, but they call it, of course, they still call it industrial development. I really like this definition. Industrial, or I put in the word economic, that's my they didn't write it that way, I wrote it, mobilizes the mental attitudes, the physical and financial resources, we know that, for the attraction, reception, and cultivation of new and expanded industry to bring about balanced residential, commercial, and industrial activities desired for steady community growth. And that was written in 1961. I was born in 1961. So it's like, I think that still holds today. You know, some of the words are a little bit different, but I really like the idea of the mental attitude. I like the word reception, balanced, community growth. When we talk to companies, and I've talked to companies throughout the country and site selectors over my career, one of the things they always say, and I think this is important for every town and county as well, is we came, you know, when the company moves, we came to this community because we felt welcome. The mayor rolled out the red carpet. The chamber did this. You know, we felt like you really wanted us. And I think that's really important for all of us to remember when we work in economic development as community members or elected officials, that reception is really important. So, history. You know, I looked into the history of economic development and I thought about this. I read a recent book, and the author talked about the wars over human history. And when you think about it, war has been fought for economic development. War has been fought over economic issues. And the history of the world up until World War II was a war of countries conquering each other, taking lands in neighboring countries for the purposes of gaining economic development and looting. You know, Matilda Hunt was kind of an economic developer, right? He went and looted Caesar, Alexander the Great,
you know, all of that. May be a methodology that we should...
It's a little aggressive, yeah, maybe, but I'm not espousing that necessarily. I think it would be against the code of ethics. But anyway, so that was how, you know, people fought. But if you think about it, since World War II, most wars have been fought as civil wars or internal wars within countries. Very rarely are people, they are fighting over dominating social class and other things. But so the idea that we have to fight a war to gain economic advantage is no longer an issue. Here in the United States, since World War II, post-World War II, real modern economic development started rearing its head when southern states became very aggressive. They realized that they didn't have as much industry as the northern tier states. And so they started offering huge incentives to get auto companies, for example, and mills to move south. And sure enough, they were successful. They still are successful today. And so when I was in central Illinois, we had an auto assembly plant, Mitsubishi Motors, North America. We belonged to a group of northern state communities who were fighting to keep our auto plants in this north so they wouldn't move south. And so we got all kinds of data information. It was run out of a group in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the University of Michigan. So there's this ongoing battle within the states for economic development. And the South really helped bring that along. And they still remain pretty aggressive. But really, economic development kind of has a traditional story. And I put this together. I used to tell a story about, this is a toned down version of it, but so traditionally a community would say, hey, the big plant, the big factory, the big major employer has just moved. They shut down, they moved to the south, they moved to Mexico, Canada, China, whatever it might be. Our 3,000 employees, our 3,000 community members are out of work. Well, what do we do? And so they would form an organization, usually voluntary, include public and private sector individuals. They would bring in different people. They would focus on marketing and transactions. That was kind of the old economic development model. And then they would look around and say, who's going to run this organization? And they'd find Bob there, the manager who used to run the Sears and Roebuck or the JCPenney. Say, Bob knows everybody. He was president of the chamber, blah, blah, blah. Let's bring him in. And then he goes to the IEDC conference and he learns about economic development, how every one of those 15,000 organizations are doing it, and he starts doing his work. So he goes to work and he does trade shows, advertising, promotions, those kind of things. And so he's doing the same thing everybody else is doing. And that's kind of the way the economic development world works. Is it smart or right? Probably not. But economic development as an industry has a hard time keeping up with the rest of the world because part of it is we have short time horizons. Our funders are often government, which also has shorter time horizons. And so, and with all due respect to all of you sitting here, that's often the reason why you can't be as aggressive or cutting edge as you'd like to be. So that's the traditional story. But today we have new challenges and we have a new mission in economic development because things are changing. International challenges, even things in the past year, such as trade wars and tariffs, have changed the view of economic development. If we, a year ago, were ramping up our foreign direct investment or our exporting efforts, and we are, even though, if we had spent a lot of time, we would be kind of concerned right now. So we have to take a look at those things. But you know, challenges that we face in this community and every community in the United States, and to some degree the world, we're facing a worker shortage. We don't have enough people who are willing to work, who can work. There's a lot of ways to describe it. In the places that are looking for people, I saw a report a couple months ago that for the first time in maybe 30 years, we have more open positions than we have people to fill. And so that's an issue. Infrastructure investment is a challenge. You guys are thinking about that right now with the sewer issue. I just think there's any public here. So we have infrastructure. Infrastructure is key to economic development. The idea that building a sewer line will scare business away is ludicrous. It is the impetus for economic development. It will bring economic development. Affordable housing, you go with the workers. In places where you need a lot of workers, but the workers are far away because they can't afford housing in those communities, that's a challenge. Inclusive economics, or pay equity and all those kind of things are also rearing its head. And we're seeing at the national level, not so much here locally, but I see it among my peers, discussions about what are you doing about that? So we often get asked first, you know, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about this? And then technology, broad brushstroke technology is impacting economic development. It may solve the worker shortage issue if we have self-driving cars, self-driving trucks, more robots, more artificial intelligence. It will free up more people to do the jobs that are needed. And so these are some of the things that, and so the old model, the traditional EDO story, may not work when we're dealing with some of these new challenges. So I want to talk next about, I'll stop right there and pause. It's kind of the lay of the land of economic development today. We've got a big view of it. And then I'll talk a little bit about some of the things, the mechanics, and things that we're doing, and the things that you should be aware of from an economic development perspective. Any questions or thoughts? So, Mr. Hogan, we're going to go right into business retention expansion, the thing that you were talking about a few minutes ago.
Yep.
And I call it the foundation of economic development, and for a number of reasons. It recognizes those people that have already invested in economic in the community. I remember years ago when I worked in my hometown in Illinois, I was sent out to do some business retention calls, and they called on this machine tool company, and they cut stuff out of metal. And the community I lived in, everybody cut things out of metal. That's what they did. They had big machines, and we called them machine tools, multi-spindle lathes, multi-spindle axis machines, and they would do a computer program, needed a machine, you'd put a piece of metal there, and pretty soon you'd have a widget. And so we had just finished a major project, I think, with Motorola, got all kinds of incentives for them. And so I'm out on this call, and I knew the owner of the company. I said, hey, how's it going? You know, what's going on? And he said, when am I getting my incentives? I said, what? He said, you just landed Motorola. When am I getting some breaks? And I was new to the business, kind of young, and I had opened my eyes. And I remember that day clearly. And I said, well, how many jobs are you creating? He said, I'm not creating any jobs. He pointed, there's a window in the shop floor. He said, see that guy there? He used to run one machine. Now he runs three because of automation. I'm not creating jobs, but I need money to buy those $500,000 machines. And so it was clear to me that this individual had just as much to gain and was investing as much as Motorola was in that community. And he was deeply rooted in that community. He grew up there. He lived there. He had been paying taxes for years long before Motorola showed up. And he had the right to ask. And he had the right to be concerned. And he had the right. And so since that time, I really thought, you know, business retention expansion is really, really important. And I'm beginning to drop the word retention, because here's the other part of business retention and expansion. When the company is going along, and for whatever reason they're beginning to lose ground, they're losing money, they're going out of business. Something's changed. Either they're mismanaged, the owner has retired and his prodigy doesn't know how to run the company, spending money left and right. Technology has disrupted their marketplace. Whatever it might be, they're going out of business. The moment they realize that, they don't pick up the phone and call us. As much as we think they would, we should, or could, or we'd like them to, they don't. Why? Because they certainly don't want us to know that they're going out of business. It's a matter of pride. It's a matter of concern. They won't do it. And they wait until the very end. And then you see the headline in the paper. XYZ company laying off 300 people, shutting the doors, going out of business. That's the day I get a call from my board members or the mayor or supervisor and say, hey, what are you doing about this? And really, there's, at that point, nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You can go in, you can talk to them. So retaining a business is a misnomer. You can't retain a business unless you're extremely proactive and you're in their door early on and you're catching the red flags long before they see them. And that's part of a business retention call. And so I think it's really important as an economic developer to go out and visit those companies. We have a goal to meet as many companies as possible. We have a number as our organization to go out and meet these companies. So they're deeply rooted. They provide existing jobs. They have jobs in the community already. Local businesses buy supplies and materials today. You know, it's not a new business. You don't have to go out and recruit a supply chain like you do for local foundries. They create new opportunities for supply chain attraction. Another example, I was calling on plastics companies, and they all said, we have the same supplier, and he's in North Carolina. This is, again, back in Illinois. And so he's like, all right, who are those companies? They're like four companies. And we started calling on them. So you should set up a distribution center in northern Illinois. You can help our companies and companies in Chicago. And I left before I found out, but I think one of those companies did eventually set up something. And so it's a good business retention expansion, I said, when you have a BRA program to be the basis of a good attraction program. It generates goodwill. If you're calling on your local companies and you're saying, hey, how's it going? What do you need? How can we help you? Shelby can come in. Mary, what can we do to help you? You know, I think they're going to feel pretty good about it. I think they're going to say, yeah, my local community tries to help me. And when they're out at a conference or they're out meeting their peers or they're doing something with other businesses, they say, you know, you should come to Moreau. You should come to Saratoga County because they call on me. You know, the supervisor came out with this economic development guy. We talked about what we might be able to do to help our company. So you should be here too. And so if you think about it, a really, really good, healthy, robust BRE program is your attraction program. It will attract it. It's natural. Everybody would want to come to that place. Every tech company wants to be in Silicon Valley. Why? Because that's where you grow if you're a Silicon Valley company. So BRE is very good, strong. Economic development traction. And I've got a slide out of order here. So this is what you were supposed to see first. And then you go, all right. So to play the attraction game, like bees on honey, requires certain things. It requires a very good budget, number one. We'll get to that in a second. But in order to attract companies to your community, there's three or four things you have to have. One is buildings and land. A building that meets the standards of modern manufacturing or warehousing, whatever it is the company is doing, you got to have that. So it's either got to be a spec building, someone's built on spec, which is very hard and rare to do, or it's got to be an existing building someone's moved out, which, you know, when an economic developer sees an empty building, you know, the community says, oh my gosh, it's empty. We say, oh, good, we have an empty building that we can fill. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You have to have infrastructure when it comes to the land, and I know you're working on that. When you have land, you have to have the infrastructure. And I'm not talking about a quarter mile away, a half mile away, whatever. It's got to be at the site. And it's got to be suitable for the type of people you want to attract or companies you want to attract. Got to have a workforce, of course, and we've talked about that a little bit. And you have the consistent rules of the game. What I mean by that is the company coming in seeking approval to build a building or start a company needs to know that if they come before this body or a planning body, whatever, that the rules are going to be consistent, they're going to be fair, and when you say yes, that means yes, and there's no other, you know, it's got to be straightforward. Because, believe me, there's 10 other communities that have the same attributes from a land, workforce, infrastructure standpoint, and if it takes 24 months to get approval in this community, I'm not saying it does, but if it does, and it takes 6 months in the other, guess where they're going. And it's not because you're bad people, it's just they got a business to run, and every month and every day that they're not operating is money out of pocket. Mm-hmm. So those are very important. And then on the enhanced side of things, our rules of the game require relationships, familiarity, and affinity. So I often have said that economic development is really about making friends. We have to make friends locally, to build the capacity to do our job. That's just fundraising and politics and that type of thing. But also we have to make friends outside the community. Because people, what I've learned over the years, people do business with friends. People do business with people they know and who they have relationships with. All things being equal, they're going to do business with me versus somebody else if they know me, if they know my, that I'm going to follow up, that I'm going to call them, and all those kind of things.
And if they like you.
Pardon me?
And if they like you.
And they like you, yeah.
It helps.
It's probably key. And then affinity. And I've got a few more stories there, but let's get into this part. So what are those strategies and tactics under the attraction game? One is to, first of all, you have to identify your clusters. Those are the sweet spots in your community. When I say community, I'm always talking about, in your case, Moreau and the greater Saratoga County. And sometimes it might mean the capital region. So for us, in 2014, the county supervisors commissioned a study called, we often call it TIP strategy, or TIP report. TIP is a company in Austin, Texas that did the report, created the basis for our organization, and identified several sectors or clusters. Logistics and warehousing is one. Advanced manufacturing, which covers all manufacturing today. It's kind of a generic term, but it covers GlobalFoundries and anybody else that uses a computer to manufacture something, which is excellent these days, hopefully. Agriculture and agriculture-related businesses, office, back office, and technology. Those words got a little jumbled up. So those are the clusters. So how do you find those companies? It's basically a sales approach. You go to where the customer is. We go to trade shows, conferences, professional meetings, and make face-to-face calls with those companies all year. And that's what we spend a lot of our time doing. And so you have to do that because you have to build those relationships. You have to, as Johnny said, you have to get them to like you. Because if you don't, they'll go somewhere else. Because everybody else is doing it too. And the other people that we approach is a group of people called site consultants. It's a very small industry, and there's a good number of people engaged in site consulting. We call themselves site consultants, but there's probably 20, 30 companies, would you say, Shelby, that are robust site consulting companies. The biggest of them being a company called Deloitte, which you may have heard of. They do accounting, they do all kinds of consultancy. And Chicago happens to be the kind of epicenter of site consultants, because that's kind of where the industry started organically. So site consultants, we spend time visiting with them through an organization called Consultant Connect. We go on and meet with 18, 20 consultants over a two-day period, give them our pitch. It's like a elevator pitch type stuff. Site selectors get with them face-to-face calls. And so the attraction is making friends, visiting them, going up to them, talking to them. And it's a long play. Unless they've got something in their back pocket. I've talked to the same site selection consultants. And why this is important is this reason. Chris Shastock with CBRE in Chicago says, I call him and say, hey, I'm going to be in Chicago, I'd like to visit with you. He'll take that meeting. I'll sit down, I'll show him what's going on. And I may do that 5 years in a row and get absolutely nothing out of him. But in year six, he gets a client who says, I need a 100,000 square foot manufacturing facility. I want to build a new greenfield site. It's got to be somewhere in the Northeast, New York and New England. I'm pretty sure I'm one of the few people from New York and New England that's called him on a consistent basis. Who is he going to call first? Because he can't call the 2,500 economic development agencies from New York and New England and figure out where he's going to put it. He's going to pick a couple of cities that kind of meet the criteria that this client has given him. And sure enough, hopefully Saratoga County will be one of them. And I'm going to have first dibs on this thing. And hopefully we'll land it. So that's why those things are important. Face-to-face, one-on-one. The other part of the traction game is what you might suspect. Media and advertising. We spend a lot of time on social media. Earned media, getting newspaper stories are very important. We have a public relations professional that helps us. And over the past couple of years, we've gotten a lot. A local news story is nice, so big deal. But those today's age, we can take that news story, post it on our social media, target it towards certain site selectors, send it out again, repeat it again. It gets picked up by other social media sites. Our stories have been picked up in national trade magazines related to the economic development and construction industry. And so those stories are really important to make sure that people hear about Saratoga County and what's going on. And then some advertising. I failed to bring, I have a magazine, a trade magazine, to show you what we don't do, because that trade magazine has dozens of ads for every community, and they all look the same. And I've always asked, and I never hear anybody say, yeah, I picked that community because I saw it in that. It just doesn't happen. So we don't spend any money on that. We work with regional marketing, and regional marketing is another part of the attraction game. Center for Economic Growth is one group, is a group out of Albany that does kind of regional marketing for the capital region. Empire State Development. We also work with a group called New York's Loves Nano, which is a group of five New York communities that trade or that share costs to go to Semicon West and to set up a New York booth and talk about the sites and assets that we have here for the semiconductor industry. So I want to describe the dance. So this is the attraction, regional attraction game dance. When I worked in Indianapolis, I was Vice President of Regional Economic Development for the Indy Chamber. And we had nine counties that we worked with. And our job was to market the region, kind of like CEG markets the region for us. And I had one local economic development organization president complain to me, saying that I steered projects to the Suffolk County all the time. And I came up with this, this analogy. I said, listen, I said, we're marketing the region. The site selectors, the companies, they think of Indianapolis. They don't think of Boone County and Hendricks County and Wally. They think of it. They just want to know where the buildings are, and we tell them where all the buildings are. They self-direct that. And so it's kind of like a dance. It's kind of like we bring the girls to the dance. They're going to choose their dance partner, and they're going to choose the best-looking dance partners, the ones with buildings, sites, infrastructure. So I said to him, I would work on that. Don't worry about the pipeline. We'll bring in the pipeline. But if you've got product, building sites, infrastructure, workforce, you'll win. It's plain and simple. And so we have to get really good looking. And I know you guys are working on that. That's the attraction game hands. The third thing we want to talk about is entrepreneurship small business strategies. Growing your own. Entrepreneurial needs and requirements for success include a rich and fertile environment to grow in. And these include the following: business planning assistance. And so good economic development, entrepreneurial environment has business planning assistance. And we have that. We have a really great environment here in the Caddo region, Saratoga County, for business startup. There's a lot of different groups doing a lot of different things. For example, SCORE. Anybody know what SCORE is? Heard of SCORE? No. Service Corps of Retired Executives. Mm-hmm. And every community, not every community, most larger communities have a chapter, and it's sponsored by the Small Business Administration. They're kind of self-organized. And ours happens to be a pretty good one. I've seen in some communities not good ones.
It's the very highest performing in the country.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Really?
In Bloomington, Illinois, where State Farm is headquartered, most of the SCORE people work for State Farm. They had no idea how to start a business. They could tell you about their insurance needs, but they weren't entrepreneurs. So it was really kind of not very. It was kind of like a little coffee club for them. You know, it was like a State Farm retirement club. But ours is really good. There's a couple people that are just really excellent, and we've got some great success stories coming out of that. And around the community college, Hudson Valley Community College, both have programs. We belong to a group called Innovate 518, which is a kind of a hub of many groups and organizations that are involved in small business development and entrepreneurship and promoting it. And they're based out of UAlbany, and they've developed a website that you can go in and figure out which of these organizations can help you. And there's many more that we can talk about. Another good thing that you have to have is a good data research and market analysis. And so EDOs, economic development organizations like us, have that information, a lot of data, we know where to find that data. Of course, there's the internet. I mean, how do you get around that? You have to have finance and investment opportunities. We have Upstate Venture Association is a group that we help sponsor, and they have programs in Saratoga County. And it's an association of venture capitalists and angel capital and people like that. They have pitch nights and all types of things. In fact, we got a really interesting event coming up in October, I think, out in Syracuse. It's all about agriculture. They have people pitching agriculture businesses. So it's It's a night or an evening that we're busy, though. I think I don't think we can go. I wish I could go. And then it was packaging food. That's what it was. And then we have New York State Business Development Corporation, which does SBA loans. There's SBA 504, SBA 7A. You know, both very commonly used small business administration loan structures that allow companies to do some really innovative things. It actually helps banks put out more loans, and so they work with them. There's revolving loan funds, micro loan funds, all kinds of different funds. So there's good finance investment. Again, land building sites. Sometimes it can be as simple as a small place, a co-work space, infrastructure, incubation, accelerators. And so those are all things that we're probably the weakest in that area, particularly in Saratoga County, but they're coming along. And so those are some of the entrepreneurial and small business strategies. Moving on to incentives and financing. Strategies and tactics include state programs, consolidated financial application, grants, tax credits. If you have a company that's interested in economic, in putting a project in, there's a form, imagine that, that they have to fill out that kind of gets them started, and we can work with them on that. Local incentives include the Industrial Development Agency, or the IDA, which qualified projects can get pilots, payment in lieu of tax agreements, sales tax exemptions, and mortgage reporting tax exemptions. And at the federal level, there are a few things, including EDA grants, Economic Development Administration. Those are hard to come by, but they are available. Recently, in the new tax law, they created something called opportunity zones. And the only opportunity zone that qualifies right now in Saratoga County is basically the IP site area in Corinth. And so it's based on income and some other things. And that is where, it's just a place where people who have capital gains can park some money and not be taxed on it. So there's other loan programs, technical assistance, specialized tax credits for a lot of things. So that's basically the three or four areas of economic development that I'm looking at. So the last thing I want to talk about is kind of moving into the area of how we organize ourselves. And we're going to go through a lot of steps before we get to the point, but just some things that I've learned over the years that apply to down the road, Corin, Saratoga, whoever, and that is basic rules of economic development. Don't reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of different groups doing a lot of different things, and it points to collaborating and cooperating as much as possible. The Center for Economic Growth, they go to a lot of trade shows. And I trust, because we pay them, we invest in their organization, I trust their marketing Saratoga County, and I know they are. And so hopefully they're bringing the girls to the dance. And so that's an area of collaboration, cooperation, where we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We do go on some specialized trips, but we don't have to do that. There's different roles for different groups. Again, CEG does regional marketing. They're not much of a transactional group. We are the transactional group. We're working with a pipeline of about 30, 40 projects right now. We are deeply involved in getting that transaction done, whether it's an IDA application, whether it's finding a site, connecting them to the national grid. And I say, we're doing a host of different things to try to get that project announcement, as we call it. So there's different roles for different groups, and we're very transaction oriented. Emphasize and concentrate on your strengths and leverage them. So if you are an ag community, that's what you should be doing. If you're an industrial community, that's what you should be doing. You should leverage that. Malta should obviously leverage the investment made by Global Foundries and Luther Forest Technology Campus. And this is really important. I think this is something that every town should be looking at. Improve your processes and approval times. Review everything. How long does it take to get a company in the door? It's really, really important. And every site selector I talk to, every company I talk to, every broker I talk to, says that's the most important thing. And because in the bottom line, at the end of the day, it says two things. Well, two things happen. You get it done. You know, you get your project. You get those jobs. You get the positive kudos. But it also sends a message to everyone else that you're open for business. And then plan for the future. And I mean really the future. Not a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. But 5, 10 years down the line. That's where things are going to happen. And if you invest now, you will see that. I see that I just went over a little bit over an hour. Sorry.
It's okay. You really didn't, yeah.
So back to the economic, I just put this back up there again. So sustainable jobs, disposable income, you get it. This is where we need to be. So the question to you is, you know, what do you want? And we're going to go through those steps and figure that out. Is it manufacturing? Is it office? Do you need to work on transportation, your sewer and water? You know, those are all questions that we'll answer as we go through this process. The next steps that we've outlined previously when I presented to you and I put some dates on this so that you can take a look at that. We want to do an economic development survey, and it's up to you who that survey goes to. If it's just your board and maybe a few other key people, that you have to decide that and let us know. But it'll be a questionnaire. It basically says, you know, what do you want? Where do you want to go? Cast your vision. Talk about the future. What's needed? What are the obstacles you're facing to being more successful? We'll go through the, we'd like to get that done by September 15th, and that will help us then move to the next step, which is asset identification. And that's a process where we want to sit down with your engineers and anybody who's drawn up a plan or made a map or inventory, anything about your community that might help us in understanding what we can do and what the gaps might be that we can fill from an economic development standpoint. And once we know that, we can sit down with you and spend some time doing a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats analysis or SWOT exercise. And that's pretty common in strategic planning to do that kind of thing. But what's not common and what I'd like to do after that is kind of what I call foresight analysis. So that future thing that I talked about, this would say, all right, you know what can happen in the next year or 2 years based on some of the things you're doing. But let's look at the driving forces outside the town of Moreau and ask ourselves, what can we take advantage of moving into the 5 or 6 or 10 year or window? And we don't have to spend a lot of time on that, but it's worth taking a look. And I've got some tools and exercises to help you do that. And then the final plan and strategy will be written. Hopefully we can get a couple drafts done by November 30th. And then I just put by December 31st. I mean, it's up to you when you want to adopt and if you want to adopt the plan and move forward from there. So, as I like to say, it's my story and I'm sticking to it. But I'm open for modifications and suggestions. So, any questions? I know that was a lot, and I hope that wasn't too. I hope it helped you learn something. I hope it was helpful.
Yes, thank you, Martin, for that overview on economic development and the principles that are involved to put together a viable option. You know, our board, I think, is committed to having a formal plan developed, and I do like the time frame they're looking at.
Okay.
It's very aggressive, but wouldn't be it.
I'd rather keep it aggressive than.
Right. So I'll open it up to the board members for questions I may have, and then I'll circle back around.
So. And Mary and Shelby can answer questions too. So. Mm-hmm.
So. To the board, you folks, sorry I was late.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Thank you for coming back in front of us. A couple of quick questions, if you could. And I understand the next steps, and you laid out lots of reasons why. Really sounded like a lot of lift on us to kind of paint the picture of what we envision.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, I also think what we're looking for is some insight, so there's no reason to reinvent the wheel to one of your friends. I'd be really curious of how engaging that process is going to be, where you can educate us along the way on those kinds of things that you think we should be thinking about, right? I mean, we can paint the vision we
sure.
want, but if you say, that, you know, that's a really cool idea, Alan, that, you know, we've seen that and everybody else has crashed and burned, reinvent the wheel point, I feel that that would be more collaborative than I heard you explain. So yeah. Can you just speak to that a little bit?
No, I understand what you're saying. We want to bring our professional experience to the table. I think this is really our intent for this whole process, so that you don't take a step in this direction and we're like, hey, we're doing that already. You don't have to do that. So, yeah, we will bring experience, research, knowledge from a lot of different entities, as well as our own experience, to the table so that we create a plan that really makes sense for the town of Moreau. And that is realistic, I think, is what you're probably trying to say. Because you don't want, you know, on one hand, I was just about to say, well, no way you can get a semiconductor plant here, but then I'm thinking, well, maybe you should, you know? I mean, but at the other hand, like, let's think about what it is you really want, what's feasible, what are the timelines, where are the gaps, and that's really what we're looking at is, if you want to develop Route 9, you know, you're taking the first good step. What's that going to take? And what does that mean for the properties? And based on that, what are the kind of projects and companies and things that we can attract? So, yeah, we will bring all that to the table.
I guess that's the point, Marty, that Shelby and Mary, is that, I mean, we have these visions of things that might be good for our community.
Yeah.
You're interfacing on a daily basis with other people. You know what's out there with these groups you're hanging with,
yeah.
right? So you've probably, I hope, got a much better insight into what the future might be looking like.
Yeah.
So we're talking about sustainability, and I don't want to pick the wrong course. I mean, should we be looking at nanotech? Should we look at high tech? Should we look at manufacturing? Should it be a mix? You know, you hate to land the big elephant and have a leave, so I feel diversity should probably be in
a
there.
A lot of that is going to be dependent on your assets as well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when we do asset identification, especially whether it's along the Route 9 corridor, we can look at Rural Industrial Park. Mm-hmm. You know, in different parts of your community, you have a few Northway exits off of I-87. Not every community has that. How do you best take advantage of that asset? What kind of companies are going to be looking at something like that? You know, it's not like you would want to take a property that sits along I-87 and make it open space just because you want more of that in the town. I mean, it's really, it's mm-hmm. potentially drawing a lot of tax base for your community, jobs, investment, if it was used a different way. I remember over 10 years ago, even 15, when a big push in the town of Moreau was to get a grocery store. And that was a big economic development initiative because it was the Grand Union that was down there and closed. You had to go how far to get to a grocery store. So at that given point in time, it's a lot of the driving factor in getting a grocery store is going to be demographics and knowing the right folks and being able to make those connections. And, you know, economic developers, we might not have the answers to everything, but in a lot of ways we are that connected tissue.
Right.
We do see current trends. We know that, you know, we're all shopping on Amazon right now. You're probably not going to want to necessarily go after big retailers, depending on how that current trend is going to go, but logistics centers are something that are current. So
right.
We do have a lot of that general knowledge. And, you know, are you open to having manufacturing distribution? So a lot of it is going to depend on the assets and what's there.
So I think we're on the same page, at least I am, with that. I mean, I wanted to make sure it wasn't, we're going to go off and find it, and you're going to tell us how to achieve it. Because what I was envisioning when we met before and knowing a little bit about your organization and the way you pitched it was that it was really going to be, you guys bring a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
We don't want to not ignore that.
Yeah.
And so that's, I just wanted to kind of solidify that in my head. That
right.
Is your approach.
We also have the opportunity So let's say you get your sewer approved, you got the one big site, and I know there's some interest in it, but let's say that interest falls off the table for some reason. We have the opportunity to take those plans and take those things and go out nationally and say, hey, what do you think of this? And what would you do different? Or what, we can come back and say, here's what they're saying, here's what we need to change. So we have a lot of ways to test the marketplace on your behalf and working together with you. So we want to be your economic development agency, and we want to bring all our expertise to the table. Between the three of us alone, we've got nearly 75 years of economic experience, maybe more.
And we're part of a larger extended network.
The one thing I'd like to emphasize on the international front, a lot of it is, let's hear from your companies, because it's also a process for them, because not everybody's working on that. They don't want to export, but they might be importing. So global markets matter to them. Well, they need more information. It's a crazy, I can tell you right now, after 3 years of being in Washington, this is a crazy time. Well, we're here to help figure out the craziness and calm it down and get information for your companies. And that's the access to the additional experts that Shelby was talking about. If we don't know the answer today, we'll work on it and find out the answer. So that's part of it, of reducing the stress and the risk that we're making it accept.
And when you say your company, you're referring to target prospects we're thinking about winning, because we don't really talk about existing businesses.
You have companies like Ames Goldsmith in town, and they produce that silver nitrate product.
Yeah, that's kept secret over in the middle.
But it's there. It's an old NIMCO site, right? Yeah. And they are selling product around the world, or they might be looking at different market segments that they can get into. So, having that base of knowledge and understanding your companies and who might be a good target. I mean, they're there. They're under your nose. You might not even know it.
That's a good point.
Well, I also might say, the existing companies need more information. They need more training. I've sold some things to Canada because I do some e-commerce, but what does that mean? What else do we have to do?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of, what I come across, it's a lack of knowledge. It's like, there's an SBA program. Yeah, the export. There's somebody down in Albany who can work with me one-on-one, or Mary has an answer to that. It's like they don't know because they're so busy doing their business.
Being busy. Yeah, exactly.
Their day-to-day business.
I got like a zillion questions about it, but I can save a lot of them for later. But a couple things real quick if I could. You mentioned building more than once, Marty. If I'm focused on the town or row, we don't have buildings, so are people looking for existing buildings?
Yeah.
Or am I being short-sighted in the have buildings I might not know about? Are some people building buildings and they will come? I mean,
yeah, if you build, they will come. It's kind of it's an overused term, but it works in a movie, but I'm not so sure. I think in general, comparatively speaking, the capital region lacks buildings that are meet the needs of modern manufacturers and warehouse people. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a chicken and egg game. And so I know some communities that have created what they call virtual buildings. So for example, the town or city would identify a site and say, this is where we're going to build a 100,000 square foot manufacturing building. Do all the approvals as if someone's in front of you in EMA for the foundations, and you get all the utilities. It's like so that the day someone said, I want it, in 90 days you've got a building. And so that's one way to speed up that process without actually going out and building a spec building. National Grid will fund up to $100,000 to help design a spec building. So, there's a grant right there that someone could use, a community could use to design something. So, yeah, I think for the most part, there is a lack of buildings and sites that are ready to go. Now, there's some small buildings here and there, but there's sometimes second, third generation buildings, they're not designed to meet the needs of some of the site selectors and people we're talking to. Now, the good news is tomorrow we're meeting with CEG and they've hired a consultant to help identify sites in Saratoga County, the capital region, that we can then market. And so we'll be in that process as well.
Your case bag facility that was like a 250,000 square foot building that sits right before the bridge from Pensacola Falls. You have so many small businesses that actually start in that building, but it's from last century, and you know, a lot of the space is really rough, and some of it's only good for cold storage. However, you have businesses that are essentially incubating. I remember Sarah Bicycle, and unfortunately they did go out of business, but they started in a garage in Greenfield. They did a lot of their operations in that building until they were ready to grow out of it. But they built elsewhere because they didn't have the inventory in possibly the town of Morrell or nearby. So being able to work with your businesses and your community and also businesses on the attraction side to be able to ensure that you have building inventory to meet their needs at different stages of growth is important, in that they're modern and efficient, because you're going to lose them to something else.
Do you mind if I sit down?
No, please. Can I get your water? So, I was serious. The TIP report, I quick search, I couldn't find it.
It's on there. We'll see the semi link, but if you want to go to the county website.
Okay.
Is it on our website?
Is it TIP or TIP?
We'll send it to you.
You can send it. Yeah,
we'll send it to your office. And
yeah, you can just send it.
It's pretty.
That's.
Yeah. Thick. So I think the goal here, one last question, the goal is to stay focused to a plan. Right?
Yeah.
And that's great. But let me just try to look down the road a lot. See, here, I believe strongly, or feel strongly, that the town of Morrell lacks any economic development structure. We've never had, to my knowledge, I haven't been involved that long, but I've been in the business community a long time here. We don't have that, right? And so board members come and go. And so I don't know if I'm going to be here in the future. You never know what the voters decide. How do you advise us as a town to build out a sustainable model around economic development? Do we outsource all to organizations like yourself? How much do you bring in-house? Where do you see that right balance town of our size?
I think in a county like Saratoga, mm-hmm. whose supervisors have committed money to an organization like us, that we can serve we are your economic development arm. Mm-hmm. So whether you come and go, there's a plan with stated outcomes and goals. We'll try to help you reach those stated outcomes and goals. Let's say, God forbid, Todd is no longer here, but someone else comes in and they say, you know, you guys hit the road. Okay, you know, that's up to you, to the town. But I think the plan, as long as everyone wants to adhere to it, we can help you get those. And I think a lot of the things that you'll want, end up needing or wanting, are things that we're already trying to achieve for the county as a whole anyway. It'll reconcile with our, what we call the Saratoga strategy. I think a town the size of Morrell, or any town in Saratoga County, does not need an economic development department. You might designate a town council member as kind of the go-to person if you want it. But I think my understanding coming here to Saratoga County when I took this position was that's what our job was to help each town with their economic development goals and objectives. Now we're trying to formalize it a little bit more.
I'm not sure who we have spoke amongst ourselves, but I'm a lot more supportive of that model. Mm-hmm. I'm sourcing it, so just to share my thoughts amongst the board members present, you know, it's got to have legs and sustainability. And it's a lot more economical to outsource that. But it can't happen without our involvement, so I'm not talking about.
So you know how we're funded?
Yeah, no, share that if you would. If you would, no more time. Share that.
Yeah, so our budget's around between $750,000 and $775,000 a year, depending upon the actual appropriation we received from the county. A little over half of that right now comes directly from the hotel occupancy tax. We get a share of that. But that was written into law, state law, signed by the governor in 2015. And so as long as we exist as an entity, that money flows to us directly.
Is that a fixed number, Marty?
No, it's going to be, right now it's around $400,000, $350,000 to $400,000. The rest of it comes out of the general fund account. And so hopefully as the county grows from a, you know, the more people stay in hotels and motels, the more money that will generate, and the less it will be on the actual burden of the county's general fund. So, in the future, you know, one of the jobs that I have as the leader of the organization is to determine, above and beyond that funding model, is there private sector dollars that we should be obtaining through investment or membership. And so we'll take a look at that in the future as well. A county the size of Saratoga, about 230,000 people, should be spending about, and this is benchmark, you know, from around the country, should be investing, I should say, about $1 million to $1.2 million in economic development activities. That's the average, based on the numbers I've seen and people I've talked to. So if you actually count what we're spending and then what SCDC has spent, we're probably there. But I have no way to control their activities, so I don't know if that's effective or if we're leveraging that properly. But for us, I think we're doing pretty good. You know, we spend a lot of money traveling, but that's necessary. There's no, I don't see how you do economic development sitting at home waiting for the phone ring.
Someone else is going to. If you're not calling them, someone else is.
Exactly.
One of the things to look forward to is that the future, that is being modest, is that the partnership, and I'm new, so I guess I can talk about the partnership. It's a public-private partnership. So there's advice from the private sector.
Yep.
And so as you develop your plan, wholly recommend that you engage the private sector. Because you may come in as elected official, but the commitment from the private sector to this goal that you have will be important to make it sustainable. I mean, we could not have negotiated international trade agreements without the private sector talking to us, whether it's the labor unions or the environmental groups or the manufacturers, agriculture. We wouldn't know what to do. So you get the idea of where you want to go in that kind of situation because the private sector is there. And then you bring a deal home, and it's only sustainable, and it can only get through Congress because the private sector. The same thing is that you have a 5 or 10 year plan. If you don't have the private sector engaged and your workforce advisors, you can come and go. And if they're there with you, they're going to help sustain it going forward.
Okay. Well, I'll save a lot of other questions for as we get engaged for the benefit of time.
No, feel free.
Sorry.
I always like your questions. Oh. Now, where did it?
I don't know.
No, I'm glad I didn't. You gave us a lot of information. A lot of it was made a lot of sense in it. And sometimes you have to go through the process a little. Alan always is good right at the top.
We'll also send you the slide deck so you have that.
Thank you. Yeah, they're real helpful.
I was making changes like right up till 5 o'clock, so I didn't get a chance to print them off for you. So I got to move the slide too.
On this?
So.
You mean on this?
Yeah.
You're making changes? There was one thing I wanted to point out. ACC is suing Adirondack.
Yes,
Mountain.
I thought that when you said it. It's just, it's.
What did I say?
You call it
ACC.
Adirondack Community College, suing Adirondack. We're actually working with them.
We're growing.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, no, the world I come from, everything was such and such community college.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up with that.
I'm trying to say that.
I understand and respect the supervisor's comment that he likes the timeline. I think it's the same timeline we looked at when we thought about starting this initiative earlier. So our start point is pushed out a lot later, but our target date stayed the same.
Yeah.
So I think it's very aggressive. We're going to have to work pretty darn hard to stick to that timeline. But, you know, it's a target, and let's see if we can hit it.
I think the hardest part for us is going to, you know, just from a work standpoint, is the asset identification. So I'm going to really rely on your introductions to your consultants that you've worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. I think LaBerge is your
LaBerge. Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, if you send an introductory email to them saying this is what Marty's doing, he needs to sit down and talk to you, like, we'll go and meet with them. They just need to be as transparent as possible and give us as much information as possible so we can catalog it and identify it and turn it into part of the plan. So
I think also I would like to have a conversation with Jim Martin if that's possible. He helped us with our plan 10 years ago and just working on updating it again from the business.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was going to be my question. As part of your asset identification, does that have to coincide with a review of our existing code so that you know or maybe can recommend where we may want to make changes that we haven't thought of?
I'll look at that. Yeah.
That's the other thing that's kind of still in the back of my head, right? It feels like to me, and I'm new to this part of it, it almost feels like it should be this, like, this mutual fund of diversification for today and into the future. And so if our zoning doesn't align with that vision, we're going to have all sorts of problems that will never let us be easy to do business with. So I got to guess we got to figure that out early.
And I think in the SWOT and the foresight analysis, we're going to be able to identify some of that. We can go back and make some recommended changes at that point. I think the reason for doing those is to be able to look into the future. You know, a lot of the language that we use in economic development is interesting, because take the IDA, the Industrial Development Agency. Half of what they do these days is industrial. and so it could be, but that's the way they, you know, that's the old language. And there's a lot of changes, like I showed you, happening that even at the very local level here in Town Moreau, if you can identify those things that are going to happen in the future, or at least create a scenario, you can allocate resources to those things and be ahead of the game. You can be in a much more competitive position, even within Saratoga County, if you know what the future looks like, or what you want it to be, more importantly.
Should we, as we come up upon budget time, and you can tell me that that will be vetted out through this process, but I mean, what would you recommend a town of our size with what limited knowledge or more than limited knowledge you know about our existing assets, should we be putting in for our future budget for economic development type initiatives? Like we today don't have any marketing material. We don't have any. Is that all something that's provided through your organization?
Yes. I would spend zero on marketing.
So we can,
other than a nice brochure about your parks and rec program or something, because we do that for you. We're the ones, and even another layer, CPG, does that for you to some extent. And so I think from a budgetary standpoint, I would look at, and this big dollar item is probably more so than, but even you can do it on an incremental basis. So like, where are we going to put water? Where are we going to put sewer? Can we invest in a virtual spec building program? I mean, all those things are going to bring the dancers to the dance.
So,
you know, I talked about Indianapolis 8 counties, but if you just take Saratoga County and call that a region, we have about 23 towns or something like that. Same kind of concept. You do your job, you know, you invest in the thing that you can leverage best, and we'll bring the other parts to you.
Here's my last, I've said that several times now, but it's a pretty direct question. You don't have to answer it now, but I would like to hear about it sometime from you.
We'll catalog it for a future.
See, so we become like a client or customer of yours, right, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're not the only town or the only entity out there that's looking for you to put us at the top of your list.
Right.
Sometime now or in the future, tell us how we best work with you to have you put us at the top of that list.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're going to be out there, but you and I both know the world, right?
Yeah.
You're pitching a bunch of towns and counties, and so now how do we get top of mind so that you're always making us top of mind?
Okay.
Let me give you a little bit. It's the mindset. I think it goes back to the definition that Marty and introduced back in 1963. It's all about you work with communities and places that want the business and that are willing to help that business get to market fast or in a time frame that makes sense for the customer and the community. So it's economic development really is mindset. And I've heard from previous folks that I work with, it's like when you put your shoes and socks on in the morning, you start thinking about economic development, and the community thinks about economic development, and you start becoming more forward-thinking. And, you know, how does economic development become sustainable here in the town we're out beyond what your election term might be? And it's the investments and the planning that you make today, and it's the mindset that you start to instill in your town boards, and the zoning board, and the planning board, and everyone, you know, so if you want to add cereal, it's going to be hard to do business here. Right. And you gain a reputation for that. Not that they're going to promote that, but, you know, people read the papers.
We got to become easy to do business with.
Right.
I don't know if we'll be building buildings to start, but there's certainly steps and phases. So we get something started.
I'll say this. I've worked in three states.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when I say this. I've seen communities that said, we're open for business. And when you go to that community, you look at them and say, are you out of your mind? It takes months to get anything passed. You fight among yourselves. You fight with everybody else. Your infrastructure is terrible. And you say you're open for business? No. So, really, because you can't fool the business people. You can't fool the site selectors. You can't fool the people making decisions. They can smell a rotten fish pretty quickly.
Our fear, without many comment, our fear is that we've got that reputation and we need to figure out how to change it. Now, maybe that's kind of been just a perception.
I think we promote what we're doing here, and people say, oh, at least they're willing to move forward and be proactive. I think you're being proactive, and I think that's great.
From a sense of international business, when I was negotiating investment treaties, foreign companies want to have transparent rules. They want to be able to see their laws and regulations, and then they can calculate the time it takes to get a license, the time it takes to get approval, and they can plan around it. But if it's conflicting instructions from different sections of your government, your approval boards, they'll go someplace else. So it gets back to be predictable, be transparent, and shorten the time it takes to make a decision. And you were asking about budget, and I don't want to direct your budget, but you may have to think about the budget for improving your information technology so the businesses know where they get licenses, how they get approval for things. But from the international side, transparency and predictability is key.
That applies on the local side, too. It's all.
Yep.
When you talk about being ready, how do we start to be ready? How do we be ready? Who, where does... I mean, I know we can say, supervisor, help us make this. But this isn't what he's specialized in, and he knows how he wants to get it done. But is there a framework on the process on becoming...
Well, we're going to identify the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We'll identify that. And there are, yeah, there's literally companies that will help you figure that out, that specialize in processing. We can even bring in a private sector lean management consultant to show this community or any community how to improve the process of making approvals, filling up. I mean, there's a lot of people we can bring to the table to help you with that. And when we get to that point, if we say, yeah, this is something, if you folks say this is something we want to spend time, invest money in, and do, it can be done. And you will, your reputation will turn around in a second.
Well, we're living in it now. I mean, I hear weekly from interested parties that are looking at coming here, and they said, well, how fast can I get it approved?
Yeah.
And I, you know, based on experience, I outlined the time frame of the planning board. Or for instance, we had T-Mobile here who's willing to put
antenna array in one of our water towers,
yeah,
which means revenue for the town. But they wanted to know what is required for us to get that completed. And it wasn't easy pulling it all together because there were some gray areas on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can hone in on that,
yeah,
and have a defined process with estimated time for the various steps,
right?
You can take that information as part of the dossier for a town road.
Exactly.
And say, this is what you should expect.
I don't know if Shelly was involved with this, I don't think she was, but early on when Luther Forest was created, in their website they had like this. Well, there's an outline of how quickly you can get your approvals.
But it was strictly based on the letter of law. And it doesn't mean that you have to rush a project through a process, mm-hmm, and jam it down the house throat. But if you know what you want, if your zoning conforms to it, if you're planning, you know, you can have a predictable process that if someone comes to you completely prepared, that and they're following the rules of engagement in your community, then that's what they can expect when they get to the end.
Yeah.
But if you're not quite sure what you want, and, you know, some zoning planning boards don't follow those rules, and, you know, the county has a planning conference every year, and they have an attorney that goes and speaks there, kind of talks about case law and how things have changed, and tries to keep people on track for things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have a process that's predictable, you can get from point A to point B, and business is going to be pretty happy about that.
And
it's time's money.
That's kind of a virtual concept you were talking about. You know, virtual. You talked about a virtual.
Yeah.
That's kind of that same concept.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretend
shovel.
We're there.
Yeah.
It's like shovel. It's been called shovel ready light.
Yeah.
It's like you know all of the elements that you need to have in place to be able to get a turnkey project.
Right.
Say we wanted to do that. Say we wanted to do that, and Councilman Montalvo has asked, where do you budget? Do we have time in this process to be able to build something into our budget this year? If this board says, yeah, we want to do that, you bring in a consultant and we find out.
And we approve your budget?
Before the budget cycle is done, would we be able to know what it would cost to bring someone in such as this to help us put...
Yeah, no, I'm asking, when did your... When you approve your budget?
That's being done by law.
By when?
November 20th.
Okay.
Ballpark.
You'll have a ballpark, yeah.
So if we chose to do something along,
yeah,
those lines, we,
yeah,
would be able to have an idea.
I think we can have that.
And it's not just money that you budget to. It's if you have some money, you can leverage that to apply for grants and resources, mm-hmm, and other programs out there that they just keep compounding on top of each other.
Yeah.
I remember when Tom Richardson down in Mechanical was first elected, he worked with the Senate and Sarasota County and managed to get about $200,000 in the bank. And I think with that community, when they were planning at the time, they were able to leverage that to bring in about $12 million plus in economic development resources, whether it was set up green sewer, water, economic development planning, sidewalks, you know, you name it. But that stuff starts to really, it's leverage. So it's enough to leverage other resources that are out there.
One last question. Sorry, I wasn't going to ask anything right now. We do all this. Then what happens? What are we doing? We're working the plan. Keep working the plan.
And you work the plan.
You go away and you pull the plan out and we say, this is what we want.
Oh, no, we don't go away. Yeah, we go. It's not in this presentation, but really presentation. So there'll be roles and responsibilities. So there's things that we will do. There's things that you have to do. And then we work together. We can decide to meet on a report on a quarterly basis, you know, and report to your council, report on a working meeting like this, whatever you want to do.
We can
set up that protocol.
You become our outsourced
expert. Yeah, we're your consultant. We're outsourced, and you already pay for it through the county, so.
We're the first friends you're making friends.
I hope you like them.
You can pick your friends.
All right, anyway.
Anything else from the board member?
No.
I think we're good. Thank Marty and Shelby and Mary for taking the time to meet with the Monroe Town Board. I think it's clear that we have a board that wholeheartedly supports the concept of having an economic development plan in place, and we're looking forward to working with
it. We are too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, I missed it, but the first thing I said, I apologize for missing that earlier meeting. So.
Well, I apologize for being late.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you for coming up again.